Suns fans, you know what time it is in the PHX.
Empire of the Suns.
Phoenix Suns.
The Empire of the Suns podcast is brought to you by Sonic. Sonic.
Empire of the Suns.
Hello there and welcome to the Empire of the Suns podcast. My name is Kellen Olson, joined as always by Kevin Zimmerman. What's up, man?
We love the extra zing when you fly down that freeway, come into the office, and it's a new day in Phoenix Suns land, huh?
Day off? What's that, brother? Come on. I got it yesterday. I can't have two.
You're not allowed. Two days off? Frank Vogel was fired, by the way. That's why we're here. That's why we're podcasting.
It was 2:08 Tuesday when we started. It's 2:38 Thursday.
Hey.
So we got 48 hours out of it, not when it was posted, but out of like the life cycle of it. So I hoped for 48 hours and we got it. You don't have to go back and listen to that one. It's okay, because we're going to talk about everything that we need to talk about today with Frank Vogel, which is that he got fired. And this is something that we have been talking about as a possibility for months now. I opened the column that I had written 2 weeks ago about him getting potentially fired, or I thought it was a real possibility, so got ahead of it. And something that I've talked about this podcast a lot, I'm repeating myself here, but for the new people listening here, because there are going to be a lot of new people listening here, because that's how these things go. I missed a chunk of games for some health stuff. I missed like four home games in the start of December, so I'd gone like a couple, like 2 weeks without seeing them in person. And there was like four games left on like a homestand or something when I came back. And the first game I came back, second quarter, I messaged you and I was like, what the hell is going on? Because November, they were going through injuries. We expected it to be rocky at the start, but instead of it starting to stabilize or starting to get better over like the 2 weeks I didn't see them, 3 weeks I didn't see them, it got worse.
Yeah.
And then there was that Wizards game that they barely won. And that was my first, oh man, this team is in real trouble. And they have to, I called it a reality check when I wrote about it at the time in mid-December. Like, they just have to decide what kind of team they're going to be. And what that decision was, how that decision came to be, why that decision was, we'll get into it. We don't have details. But what we do know is that this team never fully respected Frank Vogel. And before I hand it off to you, a lot of people are going to be very loud talking into cameras tonight on podcasts, tomorrow on shows, saying Frank Vogel wasn't the problem. Guess what? There's going to be a viral clip about Charles Barkley saying anyone who thinks Frank Vogel deserved to be fired is an idiot. There are scapegoats in these types of situations.
Yeah.
That is going to be a very popular word. The blame guy, the fall guy. Kind of disappointed me, to be honest.
I'm
a big Gosling guy.
The movie.
Yeah. I was underwhelmed.
Okay.
It should have been better. Sorry. I thought it would be really funny to say that after like addressing the national media.
Yeah. He's no Gosling. Anyway.
He's no fall guy, because this situation was untenable. And for those who are saying he shouldn't have been fired, how should they have fixed this team dynamic? Because I called it broken. I think broken was too nice. It was never even together to start with. Broken insinuates that something was together and then broke.
Can I go back to your stretch that you missed? I covered the Memphis Grizzlies game. They were hit hard by injuries already by that point. Jaren Jackson Jr. was healthy, but otherwise, the Suns were outworked by Vince Williams. Great player. Loved watching him. He stood out.
Empire of the Suns pre-draft.
Yes.
Special.
But
Vince Williams.
When that's like start of your season, it's like, okay, why? Like, yes, that scrappy Memphis team, they don't have the talent, but they beat the Suns. A team that came in saying, our identity is going to be scrappy. Our identity is going to be getting up threes, pushing pace, and playing defense. None of those things came true. You wrote a column on this. None of those things, none of those promises about this team identity came through. But
you wrote a column like 15 games in where you were like, they don't have an identity, and that's a problem.
Yeah.
Aren't they supposed to have an identity? And it's like, yes, every
like,
good team is supposed to have one. And this team somehow won 49 games without even having one.
And that's what's crazy, because we were talking about it then, and we were saying, okay, we give them a few months to find that, to develop that. They did the exact same things where, yes, it's a very talented T-Wolves team compared to the Memphis Grizzlies, but I can say, I can watch both the bad Memphis Grizzlies, I can watch the bad Minnesota, or the good Minnesota Timberwolves at the end of the season, and I say, those teams are better coached than this Phoenix Suns team that never got better, never found an identity, didn't play hard all the time, or rarely for even a couple quarters at a time. So, I think, yeah, last podcast we said, look, blame, like, Katie, Book, you've got to, you can blame them, but just because you blame them doesn't mean the coach shouldn't be fired, because, like, when you ask what is the definition of a coach, most coaches, like Monty Williams, would say, I'm a servant. Other coaches would say, I'm trying to make a difference, or I'm trying to improve people's life. Like, the coach is supposed to empower people, and that's the number one definition. And it doesn't matter how good Frank Vogel is, what his reputation is. He did not empower them. He did not motivate them to play their best. We can go down the list of players.
And if you're saying, if you're saying this is Kevin Durant's fault, they should trade Kevin Durant, or this is the Big Three's fault and they should break up the Big Three, they can't trade Bradley Beal. They can't trade Devin Booker unless you want to completely blow it up. And anyone saying they should completely blow it up is an idiot.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sugarcoat things right now. I'm sorry.
And the owner's not
going to
do
that. Idiot if you think they should trade Devin Booker, because you're just going to blow it up and rebuild and then wind up with a probably like sub 40 win team for like 6 years.
And the owner is already what? He's not going to do that. Have you watched what
he's
done? And
you're going to build up draft picks that you got from the Devin Booker trade that might be good draft picks. What if they're in the late teens? Now you have to hit on someone, and you have to hit on a franchise player in the teens.
Like, yeah.
It's not going to work. So you have to trade Kevin Durant. Okay, let's say you trade Kevin Durant. Let's say you call the Golden State Warriors and say, give me Wiggins, Kuminga, Pajemski, 2 firsts. Now I'm watching a Devin Booker team again where he has to, first of all, you have to get top 30, top 25 Bradley Beal in the world, and those two have to figure it out.
Yep.
I have zero inclination at all that those two work together at all. Zero. Like, I got zero progression at all from last year to this year that these two actually work together. I need that to work.
Yep.
I need Bradley Beal to be a top 25 player in the world again. I don't know if that's going to happen. I think it would, but I don't know if it would. Three, I need Devin Booker to carry a team, and I've seen what that's done. It's gotten to a finals loss. It's gotten to a loss in the second round. It's gotten to another loss in the second round. I've seen it.
Yeah.
I saw it with Kevin Durant on the team. He tried to carry the team on his own. It was one of the best runs we've ever seen from a player, but he ran out of gas. He got hurt. That was it. I've already seen it. Why do I need to see this again?
Mm-hmm.
So now, scapegoat blame people. They're going to look at the point guard thing. Okay. If you trade Kevin Durant, because again, you're not getting a point guard for Nasir Little in the 22nd overall pick or 23rd overall pick. You can't trade Yusuf Nurkic and then just sign two centers on the veterans minimum. That's not how it works. So now you're trading Kevin Durant for a point guard. Okay, now that point guard has to start. You're bringing Bradley Beal off the bench to fix this team dynamic, to fix how a team comes together. You're going to have Bradley Beal come off the bench.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. So I'm tired of people looking at roster construction as a reason why this all this happened. It is not why this happened. Why this happened is because the players didn't respect the coaches. They ignored the coaches. And that is why. How do you fix that? You fire the coaches. I'm sorry. There's no other way to do this. Is it a popular answer? No. Does it make the players look good? No. Am I saying the players are blame-free in this? No. If I'm running down a list of who is to blame for this season, number one is the people who hired Frank Vogel. I say people because I have no idea. Was it Matt Ishbia? Was it James Jones? Did Isaiah Thomas whisper in someone's ear? I have no idea. I don't know. Was it Josh Bartelstein? I have no idea. I don't know. One, those people. Those people. Two, the players. And then three, Vogel. But
guess what's easier to get rid of?
That's the only thing you can do.
Yeah.
So I'm... That point aside, to get that out of the way, for those who watched the team over the course of the entire season and saw that this team never had buy-in, never had belief, never had cohesion, continuity, connectivity, all those words that we've been trying to use differently for 6 freaking months now, because this was, quite honestly, like a horrible team to cover. Like, it was just miserable to watch. I did not like watching the Sun season.
49 wins.
At all. The best part of my job is I get to watch basketball. And I'm not going to sit here and say that this was a worse covering experience than a team that won 20 games. But to watch a team under-deliver to such an extreme amount like this team did, and to do it in this way where it's just because they can't get on the same page as the coaching staff. And knowing that was the case for three straight months, like by the All-Star break, I was like, this season's over. Like, yeah, maybe they somehow get crazy stuff to happen, but season was over.
Yeah.
So all of that said, there was nowhere else to go.
Yeah.
And that's my venting aside. That's all of those points aside, that this is what we dealt with. It sucked. It sucked to cover. It sucked for fans to watch. It sucked to be a part of, clearly. Clearly, it sucked to be a part of. Yeah. Did you see the way they played and the way they didn't get along? Clearly, it wasn't a great dynamic. So now, I guess we can go with what's next, but I think it should start with, like, what's left right now.
Okay.
And I'm not talking roster. I'm talking, like, what have they established? Have they established anything?
I want to hit real quick on the process of firing him. Because I don't want to, like you said, I think ownership, decision makers, James Jones, Bartlestein, Matt Ishbia, let's say they go together and they went over this week-long or plus evaluation process about, I think they were looking for any reason not to fire him, is how I'm taking it. Because that press conference Wednesday, again, you could have just said he's safe. They didn't do that. I think they came to the right decision, and I'm not defending how they spoke about how much promise they see in this team, because if you talk about how miserable it looked to play, how awful they didn't listen to their coaches, they won 49 games, which is hard in a very lots of parity atop the West. I think there is, like, the very takeaway of that is not that they're closer to a championship than people think, but that we didn't undersell the talent of this team. Roster construction being flawed or not, this team should have been a lot better. And their flaws should have come out in the second or conference finals, second round or conference finals, not four games, awful games against the T-Wolves. And so I think with that being said, that also Matt Ishbia can be somewhat correct in, like, look, we get our five starters back from this past season. You fill around the margins. There are minimum contracts to hand out. There's a draft pick. Royce O'Neal's situation can change things. And I think when you look at it that way and saying it is generally going to be run back, even if you trade KD and you believe the Heat, Chad Ochocinco-Johnson rumor, like, they're going to go for it again, and you can't have a team not believing in its head coach again. And so here we are. I just think it's a very weird, like, perspective of, like, they either suck or, like, they need to blow it up, and it is somewhere in between. Again, 49 wins, you cannot take that away.
Yeah, you can. I'll take it away right now.
But that roster, do you think that roster should have won more games, is my point?
Yeah, it should have won 55 plus, easy. No question.
And that's why you fire the coach. Where I'm going.
Yeah, well, yeah, of course. Yeah, and I'm not writing off 55. They could have won 55 plus without injuries. No, they could have won 55 plus if they took games seriously, but they didn't take games seriously because they didn't care.
And if they got good, how good would that team be?
They did not care enough to get past whatever was going on with them and the coaching staff. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Still don't know why. Okay, coaching. Something I like to talk about a lot on here is how can you not be romantic about basketball? The Moneyball thing, right? Like, how can you not be romantic about baseball?
Mm-hmm.
I think there are several, like, intuitive things about basketball that make it unique as a sport. One of them, and this is where, again, I'm now widening the door. I was saying, like, people are idiots if they think point guard is a problem, all that kind of stuff. Like, no, like, everyone's right here is what I'm saying. What you believe a head coach should be responsible for. I think a lot of people believe that a head coach is responsible for figuring out who the right ninth man is and if they make adjustments or not.
Yeah.
Guess what we're going to be using a lot the next couple of years, probably. The A word, adjustments. Mm-hmm. We're going to be back to that grand spell of adjustments. My belief, philosophical belief on what a head coach has to do, is a head coach has to get buy-in from his team, first and foremost, one, so that two,
you can make
his principles and how he wants to play basketball and best get the game of basketball out there, so he can employ those. Two, three, play that way.
Yeah.
I think that's a really simple thing that people get lost on. Frank Vogel is an extremely bright guy. We would talk to him, and he is not someone who was stuck in 15 years ago, 10 years ago, even like 5 years ago when he won a title. He's extremely aware of how the league has changed. He's extremely aware of how they need to take more threes.
Yeah.
He's extremely aware of the type of team that he has. And he could not get past step one.
Yeah.
So it didn't matter. We never saw it. And so he's gone. And this is where I'm going to go with this, since I've lost like half the people already who were mad at me in this podcast. I might as well make it everyone. I wrote a column when Monty got fired that a lot of people did not like, where I agreed with them firing Monty, but I said, you better be sure you didn't mess this thing up. And what I said was, you better make sure that you have a culture and an identity that you can get in place.
Yeah.
Because you had one. Even if Monty was going south with some players or whatever, you had a culture and an identity in place. You had a style of play. Remember, .5 is not synonymous. It's synonymous with basketball in general. It's not just a Monty thing. But .5, moving the ball. Do you remember the games where they would win and it seemed like they were like kind of braggadocious and being like, that's how you play basketball? It was almost like they wanted to show teams, this is how you're supposed to play basketball and this is how we'd like to play basketball and the way it's meant to be played. They had a style of play. They had all this kind of stuff. And three, Kevin, they had a coach who the players would listen to. And they fired him. And then they replaced him with a guy who could not get buy-in, could not get a style of play, and his players didn't listen to him. So now they're probably going to replace him with Mike Budenholzer. John Gambadoro on the air today is saying that this is going to be a very expedited head coaching search. 2 to 3 names. They're going to interview 2 to 3 people. But Mike Budenholzer is the top candidate, and he went as far as to say in like the 215 segment that it's likely that it's going to be Mike Budenholzer. Mike Budenholzer, part of why he got fired is because Giannis didn't like him anymore. And Matt Moore, who's been around the league a long time, knows a lot of stuff, said, if the issue with Vogel was his ability to connect, I would not hire Bud.
Yeah.
I would not hire Mike Budenholzer either. So now, I'm getting ahead of myself here, but if they hire Mike Budenholzer, I'm going back to firing Monty. It's like basically you're hiring a different version of Monty, but a version where players might not listen to him. And your number one concern should not be offensive system. Your number one concern should be buy-in, because you cannot get to step two or step three before getting to step one. And I'm worried about them getting there again, which is why I bring up the Monty thing again. Do I think the Suns would have won a championship this year with Monty? No. They probably would have got bounced in the second round, maybe even the first round again.
Yeah.
But you would have at least been able to get past those steps, and they did not this year, which is why Vogel got fired and why I'm worried about anyone else who comes in who has history of not necessarily connecting with their stars. Because, look, is Giannis a new coach killer? Maybe. Like, he got Griffin out. He got Bud out. We'll see. I don't know. There's a lot to unpack there. If we get there, that's way far ahead. But I would be very concerned about that step first, is getting buy-in from the players. And look, if they just talk to the three guys and they're like, Bud would be great, get him in here. Love his offense. Let's run that. Okay.
Yeah.
Easy enough. But that's the way it goes. And again, yes, we are giving it up to the players. We are letting them have an impact on who gets the head coach or who is the head coach, because you need to know, you need to do your work ahead of time here. I'm not saying they didn't go and ask players if they wanted Vogel or not. I'm sure the guys were excited at the time to have Vogel, but their personality meshing was horrible. It was terrible.
Yeah. And that's a process. And like, if Bud's relationship with Giannis soured, it soured after they won a title. So there's that. And I will say,
I watched him make adjustments, by the way.
Yeah.
I watched the playoff series where I watched that whole playoff series. I watched every game twice. He made adjustments. So
to your point, though, about buy-in, though, I think the Monty Book's play under Monty and then Frank was very different. And we talked about there's regression on both ends, by the way, on defense, too, for a defensive head coach. But when the Suns did not have a point guard in the Western Conference semifinals against the Denver Nuggets at the end of the thing, like, campaign was still around, yes, Chris Paul was hurt. Book basically became, Book had his best, what was it, six full games stretch of his career, if we go into the first round too.
Which one?
The last Monty year in the playoffs. Why was Book?
Oh, it was 9 games. It was.
Yeah. Why was Point Book so good? Because even though he's not a traditional point guard, he bought in. He knew the system. Monty Monty's system and Monty's coaching he connected with, and that is why that was different than what you saw Devin Booker this most of this year. Like, he had a little good stretch at the start of the year about playing point, and for whatever reason, like, there was no connection. There was no, like, I would assume if Devin Booker wanted to try to fix things, he would go to Frank Vogel if he trusted him, say, let me run point or put me in these positions to be better and to play free and to play my best. I don't know. Obviously, this is like speculative, but there obviously weren't conversations between him, and then it expands to KD and Beal because it's so complex with these three people and the head coach that really none of them were playing optimally at different points in the season, and definitely not together. And, like, again, that's really hard when you have three really good players like that. But I think if you just boil it down to your best player, your franchise face, who can play point guard, by the way, he was not leading. And whether that's his fault or Vogel's, I do not know. I don't want to jump into that, but that's where you see it on the court. To your point, it's always about, like, you see what's happening behind the scenes by what happens on the court. Like, Book trusted Monty well enough to play awesome basketball, and none of the big three did that in Frank Vogel, and that's kind of what it comes down to, I think.
Yeah, it was really evident the longer the year went on, as I've talked about quite a bit here. Do you want to get into candidates now? Do you have anything else to say? I'm trying to think of where else we left, but I mean, it was pretty simple. I will say they were, like, at a point defensively where the defensive thing with the team for me was less the job that Vogel did, which was good, because outside of the slippage, which goes back to step one of the process I mentioned, I thought that they were pretty darn good against Minnesota defensively. I know that the numbers and the points per game and all that kind of stuff don't corroborate with that totally, but or link with that totally. But with that in mind, I thought that when they were together defensively and they were able to play like 25 minutes of really good defense, it was really good.
Yeah.
I thought less about that, more about like that this team, like, constructed as is, can play
defense,
good enough defense to win a title, because that's what I'm saying. It was like, it was a good enough defense to where if you had a pretty good to elite offense, you could have won a few playoff series with it.
Yeah,
if it would have just stayed solid and not been slippage. I mean, that was the story of the whole series again, or season. If you're new here,
it wasn't tactical. It wasn't.
I repeat this for 4 months. They can't play 35 good minutes in a game. They had three or four regular season games, maybe, where they got to 40. And that was it. They always had slippage, and when it was slippage, it was intense, and it was sudden, and it was no surprise to see the Minnesota series play out the way that it did, because it was three straight games of it, and then the fourth game, it couldn't happen because Booker and Durant just kept scoring.
The crazy part is about covering this team is, like, as much as people overcomplicate and complain about adjustments and rosters and rotations, like, we never got to that point. We'll be blessed when we're at that point again, because that means the team is, like, functioning together and there's enough consistency where you can say they should make this adjustment, and there just wasn't that with this team. So here we are. We'll see. We're resetting. Under whom are we resetting to watch coach the basketball team? Bud. Chauncey Billups' name is out there. I believe he has one more year with the Portland Trailblazers, so he's kind of at that, you know, like a player contract year. You either get an extension or you see if there are other options out there, and there are two pretty good jobs under superstars who perhaps watch Chauncey Billups play basketball and respect him with the Suns and the Lakers jobs. And apparently, I think, did the Blazers fire Chauncey's brother from the staff?
Don't know. It does not sound like the timeline that Gambo gave out does not sound like a timeline that is friendly to seeing what's up with Ty Lue and waiting around for that whole spectacle to unfold. It sounds like they're ejecting themselves from that. No other names really jumped out to me. I thought Sam Cassell jumped out as someone who they should interview and, like, speak with to get his philosophies on everything. But it doesn't sound like they're even going to have that kind of process where they want to interview a bunch of people and hear what they think the Sun should look like. It's like, no, we know what the team should look like. We just need the right guy, and we know it's going to be one of these three people. Fair enough. More power to you. No JJ Redick per Gambo. Podcast content will continue. We'll see if other teams hire him and we do get rid of podcasts. But
no the only man who does podcasts outside of this podcast, obviously, is
it's like a smaller version of what's happening with TNT right now and the NBA rights right now, where it's like, can TNT just keep Inside the NBA on. It's like, can JJ Redick just keep his podcast going? Like, these are two excellent forms of
content. This is important for us.
Different reasons that I want to remain around a very long time.
Yeah.
None of the ex-head coaches were inspiring. We named them off last episode to rehash them. Scott Brooks, Dave Yeager, Terry Stotts, James Borrego, Kenny Atkinson. I would love a Dan Hurley shout. I would love to see that go. But again, that goes to college coach moving up. Can he get buy-in?
Weird timing.
I don't know. But yeah, his offense looks fantastic, and it looks like the type of offense that they would jive with.
Moving in town with your brother. Mm. You can have lots of family dinners.
Yeah, great. Not going there for anything too crazy. Woj just tweeted Budenholzer has emerged as the front runner to become the Suns' next head coach.
Yeah.
Already. So
we're moving. I guess we should talk. We are moving fast here. That was like an hour ago. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's talk more on Bud, unless you have other names.
So they just talked to, they were just basically talking to Bud the last week.
Yeah.
And they were going to not fire Vogel if they didn't get Bud.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that was the deal.
Let's go a little deeper on him. Holbrook, stand up.
Dude, I was like, is it Globe? Like, what weird small...
I
no
hope I'm correct.
Those of you listening from a weird small town in Arizona, but like you pacing people and all that stuff. Shout out to you from Holbrook.
So he knows the scene out in the desert. I would say, looking from a schematic standpoint, like he just gets it. Like when you looked at the Hawks teams, he was very forward thinking. Like they were some of the first teams that kind of like, okay, we're going to space the court 1 through 5, but that doesn't mean that Al Horford, our center, isn't going to like Al Horford since then has become even more like, I'm going to bring the ball up, being used like Nurk and stuff. But like they still used him in like unique ways for, I don't know, how many years ago was that? And I don't even want to talk about it. So like everyone I think would appreciate his thoughtfulness and his offensive like resume, I guess. Obviously coaching Giannis, who's a super unique player, is like, it makes you feel good because he figures out problems. Like he figures out that guy can't shoot. How do we optimize him? And that's what we've been talking about, optimizing a very unique roster. He has proof of doing that too there. So like, again, I think if we don't let the worry about the stars not trusting him happen again, then it's a good hire. But obviously, like you said, that's step number one, and that's obviously super important to think about. So I think that's going to be interesting. I don't know what his assistant staff would look like, but I'm sure he has a ton of connections to bring in a staff that everyone would be like, hey, that looks good on paper. Thoughts?
I'll have more when they hire him. You know, we'll podcast then, won't we?
Yeah, we will.
Yeah.
Is that going to happen in 24 hours? We're flying here.
Just do it tomorrow if you're going to do it this week. And then do it Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday if you're going to do it next week, because...
I think it's worth pointing out in this last few hours of news, Gambo did say, like, obviously James Jones was the first quote, the only quote in the Suns have fired Frank Vogel press release. So what I get out of that and what Gambo said is, like, he's staying. Like, we can guess, we're going to be guessing if James Jones, how much decision-making power he has with Bartelstein and Matt Ishbia also up there. But I think they trust him. I think he, again, is a really orderly dude, but they're apparently making front office changes. I don't know what that means, if that's just scout level, if that's assistant GM level. But obviously, big picture-wise, do you... Not that the process was clean, and they obviously are fixing a mistake by firing Frank Vogel, but I think it at least should reassure fans that they aren't lying to themselves, I guess, is where I'm going with this. Like, they aren't lying to themselves about, like, last season was fine. Like, the press conference kind of came across as
Bud, excellent head coach. I'm reading Eric Nem's like postmortem when he got fired in May of 2023. He likes to hold timeouts. Fans are gonna enjoy that. If you're waiting for the timeout to be called, keep waiting. Awesome in the regular season here, offensive and defensive ratings. for the 2018-19 season onward, fourth and first, so going offense and defense, fourth, first, tied for seventh, first, so they were top two in defense back-to-back years, and then fourth, ninth, third, 14th, and then 15th and fourth.
Interesting.
It's just he described it, Eric did, as them being rigid. He was rigid in his schemes on more than necessary.
That's why we talked about him being redundant, similar to Monty, when
they were too committed to drop pick and roll coverage with Brook Lopez. So you would hope that the transition there for Nurkic, they would continue to employ some of the more aggressive coverages like Vogel did. They gave up too many three-pointers. They got both of those numbers to improve in his last year, but that was one of the downfalls of him and one of the shortcomings, essentially. But excellent regular season coach. So, like, if they hire him, I fully expect them to win at least 50-plus games and probably even more. And, like, talk of, like, them, oh, could they be in the play-in? Like, no, they'll be good. It's just if they can get past those steps again, and I just have to keep using the if and all that. But yeah, it's not a hire that comes out with it makes sense like Vogel did, but at the same time comes with its own questions. I think the questions are a lot more obvious than they were for Vogel. I don't think we came in here with Vogel thinking buy-in was an issue, because he got buy-in from LeBron James and Anthony Davis in year one to win a championship, but we'll see.
My biggest thing, I guess, in all of this is obviously like a not out of the box, pretty standard retread, even though that's used in a negative way. I mean, there's just not many out of the box. Like, Chauncey Billups would be out of the box, but like, I don't even know how he is as a head coach because he hasn't had a good roster there. So to me, like, they must have, that is true. It's like, maybe they were holding meetings with Bud. They were thinking about it. And that just, they were sold. I don't know.
Cat stock before we go.
Oh, wow.
How about TJ, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Look at TJ.
To pull this into the Suns, TJ McConnell, he's pressuring in the backcourt.
TJ just dribbles.
He dribbles the ball.
He just dribbles the basketball around, and
he's not the most athletic, but he can, like, when he dribbles the ball cleanly up the court, sometimes he'll go, I'm going to drive into the paint, and then he'll spray it out.
Defense is like, oh no, rim pressure.
And he's, again, not the most athletic, but it's like, oh. Not that the Suns could have gotten TJ McConnell, not that that's easy complaining about the roster, but like, watching point guard stuff and ball pressure in the backcourt. By the way, this playoffs has showed, like, when, maybe I'm making this up, but we've seen a lot of backcourt pressure in NBA games in the last couple of years, which I don't remember being a thing, and maybe my memory just is bad. But, like, that's changed this game where, like, you look at, even though the Knicks have won twice, but they've been messed up by it, like, the game's changing as far as...
If you don't have someone doing pest work on other stars, you're getting a step behind already.
Yeah. That's a whole nother conversation, but interesting things happening in the playoffs and with our...
He should have closed both games. He did not. I don't think it was the reason the Pacers lost, but it would have helped them win more. Would have given them a better shot to win, I should phrase it as. But TJ has been awesome. He figured out his really weird, goofy mid-range game of like 12-foot touch shots and fallaways and stuff and how to make it work in the league.
Yeah.
And he's so smart that he can just figure out everything else. And if teams are going to just keep treating him like he's TJ McConnell and not like a real offensive threat, then he's going to just keep doing this, even in the playoffs against the best defensive team in the league, outside of Minnesota.
Yeah. Do you see the plus-minus with him on-off with Brunson? It was like +2 for Brunson, and then like +25 when McConnell was off and Brunson was on. I believe that was game two.
Yeah, he should start. Nembhard's been good for them, but he should start and just have Tyrese run the show or whatever, like, for the most part when they're out there together. But yeah, TJ can set him up anyway. Like, that's what TJ's doing.
Yeah,
like, Tyrese's gonna have to play off the ball. He has a bad hammy right now. He can't really move around.
Yeah, basketball, good basketball, fun.
Yeah. We forgot.
Oh, God.
The Minnesota Timberwolves are the 96 Bulls. Sorry.
I think they're good, but
it's Nikola Jokic and the Denver Nuggets, the defending champs. I know it looked really bad, and like, I thought it looked really bad. And if I had to guess, the series is over, but I'm not like let's wait for game three here.
This isn't
before acting like they're going to win like 15 in a row right now.
These playoffs are not helping me. I'm just becoming like really ageist. Like I just against old people, and I'm like fearful for my own mortality or something. Read into that as if you want, but I don't trust older people, including basketball players. Right now,
who are you talking about?
The Thunder and the T-Wolves are just...
Oh, I thought you were saying like Jamal Murray's old. I was like, what?
No, they're not.
He just has a bad calf.
Yeah,
that sucks.
But you have more injuries when you're older.
My brain just gets exhausted by... I spent months on this podcast talking about I'm being the who's right guy. I spent months on this podcast talking about how much I love the Wolves and how I thought they were a legit contender, and now it's like everyone's just going like three steps further now because they were late.
Yeah,
it's like, this is the best defensive team
the split,
in 20 years.
The split of Ant Edwards looks like Jordan thing is just every day.
The Raptors like 5 years ago. It's like they were just there.
Yeah.
Like the Kawhi Raptors, remember them defensively? The Nick Nurse teams? Like they were, that's the best defensive team I've
seen. Guess how sports work. Sometimes you have a good year and a couple in a row and then everything goes to...
The Timberwolves are awesome. They could make the finals.
Yeah.
But like everyone slow down. Just wait for it to happen. Like let's wait until they sweep the Nuggets first, until acting like they've already swept the Nuggets.
Yeah.
You just slow down. Enjoy Ant. Enjoy Cat's goofy stuff if you can do it. Enjoy Rudy being a great dad and just going to see the birth of his kid.
Oh, he could see it later, Kellen. Gilbert. Wait, was that Gilbert?
No.
I like Gilbert Arena sometimes. But that
don't
was...
bring it back to Cat's talk like that. Oh, no, not. Come on, Gil. Woj, before we go, Budenholzer is the Suns' target and talks are expected to move quickly. He's working to assemble a coaching staff. Oh my gosh. All right, we'll be back in like 2 days, I guess. Yeah,
it's going to be like one, yeah.